good to see y'all this morning. I want to welcome you to Chapel Hill. Hope that you had a good morning. See there, God is good. God is good. I pray that when you come in here that you hear from Him through not just the preaching of your word, but also the singing of your word, because God is moving. I mean, we want God to come and bring revival. We want him to bring revival, and we want Him to shine in every dark place. We want Him to start in us. I want Him to start in me. You want Him to start in you. We want Him to start in our home. We want Him to start in our schools, and all over, in our jobs, in our workplaces. We want to see the Spirit of God pour out through us in such a way that the world, we don't want the world to see us, but we want them to see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. That's our heart's desire. And it begins in each and every one of us. The greatest catch. This morning when I say that, the greatest catch, what do you think of? We think about fishing. We think about sports. Some of you this morning, as I was thinking back through that, the greatest catch. You know, you got that Doug Flutie pass. All of you remember that. Some of you, that Doug Flutie pass where he drops back and he throws that Hail Mary and they catch it, the greatest catch. Or it could be Bo Jackson running up the wall or doing something there in Kansas City. Could it be a Moby Dick? Moby Dick, the greatest catch. Maybe what's the biggest fish you've ever caught? Maybe it's that bass hanging on your wall there, or a marlin, or some big, huge fish. When them catfish, you go down, you pull him up, he's like, yay, big. I mean, when we think about catches, we think about lots of different things. The greatest catch. But you know, and I'm listening to that revival this morning. You know the greatest catch, you know where it's at, you know where it happens, you know where it is. It's in your home. Greatest catch happens in your house. Starts there in your home. It starts there with those kids. It starts there with those grandkids. The greatest catch happens. Guys, I'm here to argue this morning. The greatest catch never happened from a pier. Never happened from the side of a boat, whether you were deep sea fishing or from an athletic field, baseball, football, pick a sport. The greatest catch happens in the heart of our children. The heart of our sons and our daughters. The greatest catch takes place. And here's the thing. It can happen not just on a Sunday morning. It can really happen all the time. But the influencers, those who have such great influence on our children and on our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren, are us. As parents, us as the church, Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school sign-ups are going on right now, and you have an opportunity to be a superhero in such a way that, you know, we don't even think about the influence that we have. You come in that week and those kids, you don't even know what class, you don't even know what students are going to be in there, but all that week they've gone through, we don't know what they're facing at school. We don't know the struggles they have at school or at home. We don't know the struggles they're facing on the playground or maybe on an athletic field. The bullying, the picking, the little things, we don't know. They could be the middle child or the youngest child or the oldest child and all that comes with every one of those. But when they walk in that week, you know what you are? You brighten up their eyes in such a way because you speak into their life and you show them love and they see Christ. The greatest catch happens in the heart of a person when that light bulb goes off, when that truth of I am loved. I'm loved by the creator of this universe. I am loved by the God who made me, who holds me, who carries me. And where do they catch that? They catch it through us. They catch it through the body. They catch it through mamas and daddies. They catch it through so many different ways. Because they're watching. I've said it I've said it so many times. Kids are watching. Our grandkids are watching. Our teenagers are watching. They're watching us. They're listening to us. They see how we act and interact. They see how we care for others. This past weekend, we had the prom. Beautiful people all over. Beautiful women. Beautiful girls. The guys. I'm like, it was kind of funny. I'm like, you got these Barbie dolls, and then you got that guy. I mean, all these guys, they just kind of show up, and they grab a hold of these Barbie dolls. And I'm like, that just isn't fair. We sent Harley off, and the rest of us, we went out to eat, and we was sitting at the Mexican restaurant up that way, Frida's or something. We were in there, and we were ordering or about to order, and a couple kids came in that we know from the golf team, and I just saw a couple kids from the golf team walk in. And Avery immediately looks over at me. And he caught this along the journey, and he caught it from Mama. He looked over at me and he said, "Daddy, we got to buy their supper." I was thinking, you know what I thought going in? We're one kid down. We are going out cheap tonight. I did. That's exactly what I thought. Harley, you gone. There's five of us we buying supper for tonight. Praise God. That didn't work out that way. Because we bought, and them boys didn't know it, but they ate right that night. But he said, "We buying their supper. We got to buy their supper, Daddy." Where'd he get that from? He caught that along the journey. He caught that along the way. Not making him any better than any of the rest, but guys, where does that start? That starts in the home. That starts in the car rides and in the van rides. That starts at the exit ramps. How many times you get to the exit ramp? We're sitting at the exit ramps. Homeless. You ever see those signs? "We'll do whatever for food. I want food. Hungry. Whatever." Can't tell you the number of times. "Let the windows down." Wendy let the windows down. And we giving them something. Always got diaper bags. Diaper bags always full of food. And we just passing food out. They catch it along the journey. They catch it along the way. They catch it along the path of life as you and I, as us big people, are living. Those eyes are seeing Christ lived out in us as parents and grandparents. They see it. It's biblical. Where does it happen? Guys, discipleship and revival, where does it happen? It happens at home. It happens in our families. It happens right there when those young people, and it starts from a very young age. And some of you say, "Well, yeah, but it's too late for me." No, it's not too late for any one of us in this room. It's not too late. Yeah, some of us may have kicked that responsibility off to others. You know, if we're not careful inside of the church, we expect the Joshes and the Robs to do the child discipling. The child from the children from Rob, they go off to Josh and our youth, and they get Bible studies and they get Bible memorization, scripture memorization. They study the Word of God. But biblically, it's at home. Biblically, the greatest catch happens in the home. And go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to hear what the Bible has to say. Deuteronomy chapter 6, you got to begin in verse 4. Seems like I always have to go up to verse 4. Parents, you have right there on that pew next to you or somewhere around this room, and for you older parents, and for those of you that's sitting there saying, "Look, I don't have kids, I'm off the hook." No, you're not. Because they're watching you. Somebody's watching everybody. They're watching how we act and how we interact. They're watching It is being caught. Something is being caught. Our lives are sharing something, and people are watching. Hear, O Israel, verse 4. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. What is the context here? Deuteronomy, it's this long story, this big story. Moses has led the children of Israel. They've wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years, and here they are at the brink of entering into the promised land. And God gives all this instruction and all these rules, and He tells Moses to go and tell the people to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything that you've got. He's one. He's the only God. And not just to know that, but to share it with others, and specifically our children. Parents, they don't have to be little, but what about our teenagers? Even our teenagers, the conversation. What is your conversation? What's your conversation like going to school? What is it like coming from school? What is it like going to the ball games? What is it like? Okay, you say, hey, mine are gone all the time. Well, hey, Friday night, eventually they come in. What is it like? Well, when they come in, well, I'm going to bed. Wake up and go talk. What about the weekends? What about Sunday nights? What is the conversation? You say, why? Well, these words, verse 6, these words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently. How do you break down the word diligently? You really do it. You put forth effort. You go out of your way. You try. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by your way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. They shall be a topic of conversation constantly. You want to see revival? You want to see revival in your home? You want to see it happening in your life? It happens when we take this book and we take the truths of this book and the application of this book and we just allow it to direct our decisions and direct our lives. Go over, look at verse 20. Verse 20, have you ever been asked biblical questions? Have you ever been asked questions? When your sons ask you in time to come, saying, what are the testimonies and the statements and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you? Then you shall say to your sons, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand. Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt. Pharaoh and all of his household, he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us this land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. They're going to ask questions. Guys, we change the conversation. You create conversation by switching the words. Use this one. How's your walk? What is your walk, your spiritual walk, the spiritual journey that you're on? Are you growing in Christ? How's your walk? Is your relationship growing? Are you reading your word? Are you praying? Are you studying God's word? What did you learn this week? What was the sermon about? What was the sermon about this morning? Brother Shannon get up there and he talked about family and he talked about revival and he talked about the home. What is the sermon? What was the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning as Brother Shannon was up there talking? What was God saying to you? Yeah, but we don't have those conversations. We talk about sports. We got travel ball and we got cheer and we've got camps and we got work. We're too busy for all of that. No, you're not. You're not. You may not have done it to date, But you can start it today. We can. Look over at them, and they may grunt at you. Oh. What did the preacher talk about? I don't know. You ever heard that? Blah, blah, blah. What did you learn today? Blah, blah, blah. But who's in control of that conversation? You are. Look over at chapter 11. Look at chapter 11. Parents, grandparents, adults. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep His charge, His statutes, His ordinances, and His commandments. Know this day that I am not speaking with your sons. Isn't it interesting that when Moses was talking to the people, he was just talking to the leaders, he was talking to the adults. Adults, you've seen it. You've been there and you've done that. Think about the days. God of revival. We think about that song. Imagine all the times that you've seen the Spirit of God shine light in dark places in your life. And think about all the amazing times that you've seen God show out and just blow your mind. Those conversations aren't just for us to keep inside. They're for us to share. It says, look, I know this day that I'm not speaking with your sons who have not known or who have not seen the discipline of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, or His outstretched arm and His signs and His works which He did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all of his land, and what He did to Egypt's army, to his horses and its chariots. We know what happens there in the Exodus. We can read it. But here's the thing. Our sons and our daughters don't know what went on in the past in our lives. You know, how many times have you and I gone in the past? We've gone into a test, we've gone into a medical situation, we've gone to a doctor's appointment, we've gone into a relationship, we had a struggle at work, we had an issue pop up to where we had to go constantly to the Lord. And He showed up and He showed out and He was big and He carried us through. Guys, our conversation to our young people is, look, here's what you do. Here's what I've always done. I've always walked with the Lord. I've always carried my burdens. I've always cast my fear and anxiety on Him. I've given Him my struggles. Listen, kids, youth, we've had relationship struggles too. You know what I used to do all the time? I used to look like Him. I did. I had long hair and I would put it down. So if I had to, and I'm looking at you, not him. I'm looking at you. Yeah, you. You're who I'm looking at. No, you. But I had long hair in the back. See this stuff right here? That stuff used to be pretty ringlets and I used to eat it. Remember those times we used to have long, cool hair in the back? I can't tell you the number of times that I would put that across. I would say, will you be my girlfriend? And what did we do back in the day? How did we ask them? What was the two words you would ask? Yes or no. And I'd pass that note to that girl, and you know what she said pretty much every time for years and years and years? No. Praise God, because she was Church of Christ. That wouldn't have worked. I know what it's like to have relationships. We were supposed to be married. We were supposed to be forever. But in first grade, in second grade, in third grade, she told me no all the time. See, us big people know what it's like to. No, we don't have cell phones, and no, we don't have Snapchats and Instagrams and super secret things where you can swipe here or there and do some messed up stuff. No, we don't have that, but we had life to. You know what intrigues my kids more than anything? Is when they sit around and they listen to me and Wendy talking to other adults and we start telling the stories of the past. And Hamilton and them's like, really? Y'all did that? Really? They're like, wow. They get quiet. It's amazing how they're all playing until we start talking about our past. They're like, why, really? Learning new stuff. See, our kids, what drove the wedge between us and our homes and our children? Bible says, teach them. Bible says, talk to them. Bible says, hey, I'm not talking to you kids, I'm talking to you parents. The Great Commission, yes, is go make disciples, but it's also to teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Where are our young people learning all that the Lord commanded us? I want you to hear this. They're learning it at church. But we only have them a fraction of time. They're learning it in Bible study. They're learning it in small group. They're learning it in the big box. They're getting it from Rob and Josh, and they're getting it from Vacation Bible School and Centure Kid and Generate Camp. They're getting it from these camps, yes, but you know who has them a lot more, y'all? We're not enough. I want you to hear that. Guys, they can't just get it from me, him, and Rob that's off in the back somewhere. It's a full family work. They're catching something. I get it. The world's messed up. And here's the deal. I won't even start to take on all that's out those doors. But you know what? We have control of us. We have control of our mouths. We have control of our conversations. We have control of our decisions. We have control of our walk. We have control of our responsibility and what we do with the time that we have here on this earth. I mean, I remember the years and years and years that we drove up to a church down in outside of Troy, and I'd get out and go to the sanctuary, and Wendy for 2.5 years went to the nursery and took care of Harley. And now she's a senior graduating high school. What happened between her being a baby in the nursery to her being a senior in high school? I can't go back and I can't fix, I can't start over, I can't wipe away, I can't butter up what is or what ain't. But all along that journey, she and Hamilton and Adeline and Avery were catching truth. Some good and some bad. They were catching examples. They were catching what to do and what not to do. One of the things I told them is, look, we're learning. We're learning from people all the time. We're learning what to do and what not to do. And, you know, Daddy's done a lot of things that, you know what, don't go repeat what Daddy did. Don't go act like Daddy did. Don't go blow up like Daddy did. Don't act like Daddy did. They're catching something. They're listening. They're watching. Parents, adults, they're watching. They're listening. Our sons and our daughters are listening. We're doing what we can here. We're doing what we can in the back and in the breakouts and in the small groups and VBSs. We're trying to put, you heard us say, look, go, be led by the Spirit, go sign up. You're going to have a huge responsibility. They're going to come in and they're going to listen to you, and you, when you walk in that room, be ready. Don't be frazzled. You be ready. Don't be tired. Don't go in complaining about work that day. Don't go in talking about how tired your back hurts, your headaches. When you're in there for that hour, be there. Because you may be the only person that he or she sees that night. And you need to be on your game. It's a huge responsibility we have. We want revival. We want revival. We want to see it happen. We say it happens. One of the things we say, here's what we do inside of church. It starts with me. We always say it starts with me. But what about in the home? It starts in the home. It starts at home. It starts when you and I take these conversations from the car ride here to there, and on the taking them to school and taking them to out to eat and taking them places. Just ask the questions, parents. And listen and see what the Holy Spirit leads. See how the Holy Spirit leads. Let me pray over you. Let me pray over your home. Can I pray for you? We can't touch each other, but husbands and wives, take the hand of your wife. Wrap a hold of your... We're not going to move around. Normally we'd move around right now, but we're not. If you're a family, grab your family's hand. Grab the hands. The best you can. Take your son, take your daughter, grab that hand. You want to know where revival starts? It starts right there. That's where revival starts. That's where it happens. And there's none of us perfect. We're not claiming to be that. But you're here this morning for a reason to hear this. You're here today to hear this. They're watching. They're listening. They're hungry. They need examples. They need truth. We're it. Father God, I pray for every family. I pray for every man in this room. God, we look at that title. If we're not careful, if we went to work tomorrow, wherever life takes us tomorrow, we say, hey, we talked about the biggest catch ever. It'd be easy to talk about fishing, and it'd be easy to talk about sports. God, what would be hard is to talk about how our children are our legacy, our children are our responsibility, and they're catching our words, our phrases, our responses. They're catching our how we act, how we love, how we care, how we give, how we shun. They're catching it all. They catch our silence. They catch our distractedness. They catch our busyness. They catch it all. God, I pray for the families around this room. I pray for the marriages. I pray for the husbands and the wives, Lord. God, I pray for the sons and the daughters. Holy Spirit of God, put a hedge around each. Put a hedge around this room. Put a hedge around the hearts of those that are here, that are listening, God. We want revival. We want to see a move of your Spirit. We want to see an outpouring, God, come and do a big, big thing right here, God. And start in every one of these little groups, every one of these handholds, Lord, every touch, begin right there. Begin right there, Lord. We give you praise already for what you're going to do. Lord, we give you praise already for the boldness you're going to give us to start conversations. We give you praise for the change, for the heart change, Lord. For the influences that will happen. Lord, help us to walk in a manner worthy of the name of King Jesus. Lord, so they'll see our good works and glorify you. God, you hear the secret prayers, the quiet prayers around this room. Answer, Lord God, and we'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.